The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 546. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? I'm in a Technicolor film right now from the 1970s.
Fallout shelter.
You know? Chris Asili.
What's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. For you guys listening, Manny's having some weird technical issues with his camera. He literally looks like it's like a 1970s filter or something, you know?
Yeah, I look like I'm in a fucking Fred Astaire film, you know, or Gene Kelly, or I'm going to go start dancing around.
It's funny, man. But you sound good, and that's what matters.
That is what,
you know?
So as long as I sound good.
Yeah, most people aren't watching the show. They were listening to the show, you know. But even in general, if you could have like the best looking video ever, if the microphone quality isn't good, people are gonna tune out. You know, there's something about audio that gets the people. You know. All right, man. So let's get into it. So this is gonna be a very PlayStation heavy show, people. So get ready. This is gonna be the majority of it. And some of this news may make some of you mad. So we'll see what happens here. Let's kick things off with the PlayStation, financial. So Chris, you know, hopefully you have something ready for us. Some numbers.
Here.
All right. Yes, I certainly do. All right. Let me pop this on. There we go. Ooh, look at that. That's beautiful.
Yep. So, Sony released their Q1 2025 numbers and, they're pretty interesting, considering this, what we've been talking about in terms of games or lack thereof in 2025. Sony had said in 2024, and we talked about this at the end of last year, that they had no plans to release any first party or new IPs in 2025, right? And that has continued to be true, and that's for the rest of the year. But somehow this quarter is doing gangbusters for them. The games and networks service or PlayStation segment is up over 8% from year over year, from 5.87 billion last year. Now at 6.36 billion net sales this year. I'll get into what's interesting about that after I talk about the rest of the segments. So PlayStation is up. Sony Music is up slightly, like a little over 5%. Sony Pictures down 3%. The biggest hit was from their entertainment technology and services, which I guess that it rolls in all their stuff, their electronics, to call it electronics.
Yeah.
So it's Bravia and all that stuff. So that's seeing a downturn. Their imaging is up a significant amount, but I think they license a lot of their imaging tech to other companies, so that has been a boon for them. And I know this year will be the spin-off of their financial services. So you know how I always throw those in the report?
Yeah.
I don't have to anymore.
Okay, oh,
spinning
that's good.
It off into this other thing. So that's gone now. Looking at the charts here, and I'll lay it out for people with just audio. So Q1 last year, the games and network services or PlayStation segment was 33% of the net sales of the entire company. Right, a third, smack right there. Nice third of the net sales comes from this year. It's 34.8% this quarter, which is insane that it increased somehow with no title, just off of non-first party sales and PS Plus, network engagement increased their net sales. So that's a big deal, and that's also I'm gonna carry on with this. It's scary for us who've been gaming a long time, and then I'll explain it when we look at the specific segment of their report.
Yeah.
You can see that, you know, this is in yen, but I already went over the numbers, so we don't have to pay attention to the numbers on here. It's increased a little over 8% increase year over year for Q1 sales, but their operating income increased over 127% from last year. That's huge. That's more than double their operating income, right? Like they cut their losses. That means they had a huge impact, and they attributed it to increase in sales of non-first-party game software title and impact and increase in sales from network service. That must mean they had a huge influx of subscriptions, PS Plus, or upsells of PS Plus to the upper tiers, and they had more sales on the store overall of other titles, third-party titles. That's gigantic, and so that's good. It's good. It looks good, right? But here's the bad part. This is not talking about first party title. As a matter of fact, in here, as part of their fiscal year 2020 forecast, a negative impact of operating income overall, even though they had a 4% upward revision for the forecast for the rest of it, is impact of a delay in the launch timing of a first party title. Now, the only thing I could think of is either Fair Games or Marathon.
Yeah.
It's one of those. But that's the only thing they had going on. And they still revised it up 4% based on sales of network service. That's nuts. So here, this is a scary thing. This is going to lead into the second topic. But this should scare everyone, because that means that hardware is not important, right?
Yeah.
If you look, if you are at the C-suite, knee-suite of Sony, you're looking at the business, or you're an investor and you're looking at this, you would go, wow, this is great. You know, just network services and engagement, and you can sell third-party titles, and your entire revenue came from that, and without producing software and with lower hardware sales, what do you need that anymore for, right? That's what I would think. So that's a scary thought. That looking at this is almost justification for them shifting their business, a service.
Yeah, and you know, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, that seems to be the case. But it boggles the mind, right? Because remember when we were talking about the last quarter, and they were saying how they're not going to have any first party games for the rest of the year. We were like, "Yo, they're going to struggle." Clearly not. They actually thrived. It's not off of first party. Like you said, that is scary. That tells you something right there. That tells you Sony doesn't need to be putting out first parties to win. They're winning on almost inertia, basically. You know?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And so what else clued me into that? They may not, you know, I know they said PlayStation 6 was top of mind a few months ago. I never take anything any head of anything, you know, coming from Nintendo, where they say something like that I just, it's the smallest grain of salt.
Especially Kimishima. So
you don't trust Kimishima?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a catch-all term for all these executives, you know?
Yeah. So this line right here, when their income tax expense for this quarter, I found very interesting. It said, a higher Japanese tax rate, mainly due to a decrease in research and development tax credits to be utilized in the year 20. Now, in a year where we're in they've said that we're in the twilight of PS5.
Yeah.
Where they said PS6 is top of mind. Usually a signal like that means they're heavily into R&D on a new. You have a segment that's over a third of your net sales and revenue. How would you not be able to game that tax rate from the government for research and development? Plus you have imaging, plus you have electronics. So you mean to tell me that they weren't able to do that? And PlayStation is one of the biggest things they have for R&D. It's a game console.
Yeah.
Right? You'd have to be able to game that to get some lower your income tax rate. But they put that as a negative due to a lack of it.
That's it. That doesn't make any sense.
Income, right? It doesn't make any sense unless I'm, you know,
let's go, here. Carlos. Let's go, son.
PS6 might be in jeopardy.
Oh, you think so? Whoa.
They may be rethinking that. If not, they may be delaying it, looking at all this. And this is that's why I say this doesn't bode well. Because if they didn't get this tax credit from the government for R&D and they're not taking advantage of it, all that could mean is they're not on R&D for PlayStation, right? Because you would definitely have it. So what are they doing? And all I can think of is they're looking at this year very carefully in terms of net sales and revenue from just network services and selling third-party games and seeing how that pans out. And if it pans out well for them, that may be it. PS5 Pro might be.
Really? You think? Because they already said they're developing a PS6. But my thing is.
They said that?
Yeah, so you don't. I know you said don't trust these guys. I get it. But what I'm thinking is, and this is maybe perhaps me seeing, you know, down the middle, maybe it means, because remember, the reports are saying 2027, maybe it's going to come out later than that. Because if they're making this much money now, because I still think they're going to come out with another console, but maybe it's going to come out later than expected.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're not doing it now.
Yeah.
They're waiting and watching this. And that's what worries me, is because any other time in any other generation, they would be on it, right? Yeah. There would be no delay. They would be looking at planning out their route to the next system. If that's not happening, if it's either paused or they didn't start it, that's concerning, right? So, yeah, it will come out later. I don't think – I always say that I don't mean there won't be a PS6. It's just that they have – there's a hiccup here. And this line tells me that they're not working on it right now. Otherwise, they would have resisted tax free development.
Yeah. No, that's a big red flag right there, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I just find it funny how, you know, we here on Throwdown, we're just doing this for fun, right? We're not paid for this shit. We're doing more analytical shit than these other websites are right now. They're not telling you this stuff. They're just like, oh, PlayStation numbers up. Good. They're not looking at the shit, you know, that's really happening, you know, right there in the text. You know, that is a red flag to me that they're not doing research and development when they should be working on another console. That's wild.
Yeah. That is concerning.
Yeah, Kishak, they're clearly not in a rush to start next gen because they're making so much money, not even releasing first party games.
Yeah.
You know?
There's nothing for this year. In fact, like now Marathon is delayed. And even that impact, that negative impact of losing Marathon in their launch schedule for the year, doesn't impact their operating income. They actually revised it up anyway.
They revised it up.
Yeah.
Think about that. They had this like $400 million bomb and they still had to revise things upwards because they're making so much money. That's wild, bro. Like this whole report shocks me. Like I came in here thinking like, okay, yeah, like all this negative stuff has been happening with Sony. It's going to come to back to bite them in the butt. Apparently not. Apparently not. It's crazy. And they've sold 80 million units right now, which is insane. I'm like, and Carlos, I want you to speak on that. Like 80 million units for what? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you guys have mentioned, I mean, the PS5 generation has by far been the, I won't say the worst generation because people are going to get offended at the subjectivity. But there's objectivity in this where it's like, we're by far getting less games, first-party games from PlayStation this generation than any other generation, and we've been through them all. So it goes back to a conversation that I've had with Tony probably over a decade ago when we were talking about, you know, the PS3 era, and I'm like, nah, man, PlayStation is always inevitable. They're the zeitgeist console. That's the console that all the people flock to whenever they just, you know, for default, and that's the case here. Everyone's just, you know, it's, you know, drink some water, wash your ass, and buy a PlayStation. That's the way of life in this world.
Yeah, so I agree.
It's not surprising. We're technically year five of the generation. If we want to go through that 7-year cycle, that is, you know, probably the most indicative one that we've had, at least from the last generation. We should be expecting a PlayStation 6 in 2 years, in 2027. I'm not too sure about the whole, you know, Chris brings up the good point of, you know, the research and development slowing down because they don't have that rebate for that. I wonder how much of that is done in previous years. As we know from Mark Cerny, when he's talked about this stuff, you know, development on a new console starts as soon as the previous one releases.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much of that is going on. Development might, you know, kick up right before the release of it when they start, you know, hammering on the other stuff. And we heard from Microsoft, they're already working, or they've already worked with AMD on their chip or on their system. I don't think they're going to do an SoC on the next generation. but they're already working on that stuff. I'm curious to see if the PlayStation 5 hits 100 million by 2027. I wonder if that's going to be enough, because they're gonna these companies always like these benchmarks. That's why, you know, and I told everyone that's why Switch is still selling even months after the Switch 2 came out. They want to be the best selling console of all time, and I feel like that's important for that for these companies. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And yeah, and the whole thing with the games, I'm not surprised. It's mostly services. It's mostly subscriptions. You know, they get a cut of all the Microsoft games that are coming out on the system now. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, it might be too early, but we'll get eventually to the discussion of how much a PS6 is going to cost in 2 years, 2+ years.
Yeah.
Which would be a great discussion.
Yeah. I actually don't have that in the notes, Carlos. You're talking about the tariff situation?
No, it was, or maybe it was. I forgot. It was a discussion where we had in the Discord about the price.
Yeah, because I saw it was based off tariffs. The reason if you want to talk about it, I'm down with that. But the thing is, with tariffs, the situation could literally change tomorrow. So that's why I don't want to talk about that stuff too much. You know what I'm saying? It's like every day it's something fucking new, you know? And even to bring the point home.
What's up?
Yeah, exactly. And Brett, just to prove a point. Okay, one day, this was about like a month or two ago, you know, quote unquote news broke that handheld prices went up because of the tariffs, right? I started writing the story with the new prices of handhelds. As soon as I finished editing the story, I checked again just, you know, to do my due diligence. Brett, within less than an hour, the prices went back down. So it's like, that's why if you want to talk about it, that's fine. But it just seems like it's more speculative than anything, because who the fuck knows, you know?
So I'll just clarify, the conversation started with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's with a lot of things, everything is multifaceted. It's not just one thing that you have to pin down on a thing going on. You know, for the prices, we know we already have a $700 console.
Yeah.
That's the PS5 Pro. 2 years from now, anything can happen where these companies can justify the price of a $1,000 console. That they'll try their best to do that.
Current market conditions.
Yeah, exactly. Though,
like, can they? Like, or, like, I don't know about all y'all, but like, it's, I'm really torn between them pushing off the next generation and not, because I don't really feel like I've gotten my money's worth out of my PS5 yet.
I don't think anyone has, man.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, do they have to deliver before the PS6 comes out, or can they just skip to the PS6? Because if they have to deliver, then they gotta deliver on that at least couple years worth of bangers before they can even justify. Because otherwise, like, you're gonna have a loss of market share. You're gonna have a bunch of people that are like, "Oh, I just bought this last product and like it never paid off, so I'm gonna hold back and make sure this one pans out." Like, I think they burned away a lot of the kind of good graces that they had.
Even though they're like, everything's going up for them.
I think everything is going up because they're the big, they've got the biggest market share, and that works, but only until it doesn't. And yeah, I think it will, but like at the same time, I find myself for the first time being like, I don't think I'm gonna buy a PlayStation 6 until like I have a reason. Every other PlayStation I've just bought because I knew that it was gonna be a good investment. It's the first time that I'm like, man, like, it didn't turn out to be a good investment this last time. I don't know that I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You wait till The Last of Us 2 remake.
The Last of Us 2 make remastered part 2.
Wait, you mean the remaster remake?
Yeah.
It's a remaster remake, special edition.
But Kishak is asking, does the average consumer even think like that?
No, and that's the big thing. You know, most of the consumers don't think about that stuff. Like, Brett... Like, I do agree with a lot of the sentiment you've mentioned, but, you know, lost graces with the consumer, it's kind of something that it only applies to us, apparently, because, you know, the consumer doesn't really care. It seems like how they're spending their money and how these companies just keep generating more revenue. It's unfortunate,
it's like it has what they want, so it doesn't matter what the... Does it have Madden? Does it have?
Yeah. Does it have Fortnite? Can I play Fortnite on that?
Does it play Fortnite? Does it play Call of Duty? All right, then we'll just get
married. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the potential of GTA coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, real quick, Brett. Kishak says, seems like whatever you guys think is bad for PlayStation seems to be doing the exact opposite for PlayStation.
It's still bad. No, I mean,
go ahead, Brett.
Well, okay, there's a lot of factors that come into it. Like one, like there's constantly increasing player base, right? So if you have like a constantly increasing market share, then you can make poorer decisions off of that, right? But also you don't really see a reset mid-generation, especially not like this late into the generation. Like something I saw on a video today that I honestly hadn't even really realized is like, okay, so you are paying what, like $10 just to get online access on your console, mm-hmm. right?
Probably more
for
than that.
$5 more a month on Microsoft, you get Call of Duty included in that. So like, why the fuck would you buy Call of Duty?
Yeah.
And if you're only playing for Call of Duty and it has cross-platform, like, why would you buy a PlayStation if the only console you're only buying a console? Like, honestly, like, even the more I do the math, I'm like, yeah, that just makes sense. If the new Call of Duty and, you know, and that's just, you know, and then you get other Game Pass stuff on it. Like, they are doing a good job of securing themselves as the Netflix of gaming.
You're talking about Microsoft now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because I did want to add that PlayStation has sold 80 million consoles. Microsoft has sold 30 million. So
yeah, no. Yeah. Well, it's you're not going to switch it around again, because like the only time an upset happens is, you know, between generations. Like, we know this. I'm looking at this in terms of value. Like, man, after I heard that, I was like, if I were a Call of Duty player, I would look at it like, okay, so for that $5 extra over the course of a year, that's $60. Over the course of a year, that's going to be $80 to just buy the new Call of Duty. So like, if they're coming out with a yearly Call of Duty, I'm actually saving money by getting, I'm saving $20 a year by getting Game Pass. If that's the only game I fucking play, like Xbox is doing something. And I'm not saying it's competitive with Sony, but I am saying that Sony just, they can't just rest on their laurels forever.
No, like, I agree.
Well,
but
for them now.
Yeah, no, I agree. But look what's happened. Even with Call of Duty, it's still, even though it was on Game Pass, it still did better on PlayStation. Probably because there's just more people on PlayStation, you know?
Yeah,
it is currently the zeitgeist console. Yeah.
So. By the way, Kishak says, you would think that, Brett, but the average consumer doesn't seem to be doing that.
I get a lot of people that go through my tattoo chair that aren't necessarily video game people, but still like play video games. I get a lot of casuals that come through my chair. And like, I honestly haven't talked to anybody that's bought PS5 that's been like, yeah, man, it's been really worth it. They've been like, this generation kind of sucks. Like, that seems to be pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah. But yeah, no, these numbers are very, very, go ahead, bro. I just think they're weird. They don't make any sense to me. Maybe I'm being stupid. Yeah. But then again, we're all confused, so I don't know.
No, well, I think Kishak's point is the right one.
That people don't care about this stuff?
There's just too many people that buy a PlayStation and have it in their shelf. They subscribe to PSN and might play Madden and FIFA and stuff like those types of games, and that's what they're there for, and they don't really care about anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I get that, but like, I think that's being like, that's being a fervent fanboy. I think less people, like, you're talking about most people are casuals, right?
Yeah.
I think casuals are going to notice they're not getting the value for their money, rather than like be like, yeah, well, I'm just going to keep supporting this company because I'm blindly faithful to them. Like, that's fanboyism. And fanboyism is, I think, less prevalent than casual gaming.
Hold on, Brett. So, but if you only play Call of Duty every year, you would feel you're getting your money's worth. Wouldn't you?
On PlayStation?
Yeah, or any platform. I mean, because again, PlayStation is the zeitgeist platform, and if you're playing it on PlayStation, and again, the game did better on PlayStation than Xbox. So to those guys, it is giving them the value they want. They get their Call of Duty, and they're happy.
I mean, yeah, but that's not getting them the value that they're like. If you do the math, you're like, oh well, shit. So like,
but the average person is not doing that.
You're already talking about an ask that's not in.
I don't. By the way, Brett, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Budget. They do budget.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the average gamer isn't thinking that. It's just like, What gives me Call of Duty? That has Call of Duty. I'm getting Call of Duty. That's it. That's all they're thinking, you know? Like, yeah. And again, it's doing better on PlayStation. That kind of proves it right there, you know?
PlayStation? That's bias, man. Like, of course it's biased numbers, dude.
You know,
dude. PlayStation has a larger. It's confirmation bias. It's literally PlayStation has a larger install base, so of course it's going to do better on PlayStation. That's basic fucking thinking.
Yeah. So I don't understand.
It's doing better.
But I don't. I don't understand what you're trying to get at then.
Okay. So. An install base is a console that releases once a generation, right? So since the install base is way bigger on Sony's
I'm trying to say, of course you're going to sell. You're off on a whole other tangent, bro. I don't know what the fuck you're even talking about right now. I'm saying, how can you say that you're getting a better value on Xbox, which I agree you are, yet it's still doing better on PlayStation. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Because it wasn't that way at the beginning of the generation, because they hadn't acquired it and it wasn't on Game Pass at the beginning of this generation.
Yeah. So do you think it wasn't
a better deal at the beginning of this generation? It'll be a better deal at the beginning of the next generation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about two different things then. Do you think those people were just basically grandfathered in?
There's no recovering Xbox. There's no recovering for Xbox this generation.
Yeah, Kishak, I don't know what we're arguing. Kishak, I don't know what we're arguing about either, bro, to be honest.
Aren't we arguing about the next generation of consoles?
I'm talking about the current one. I'm not talking about the next one. I'm not. Maybe you're talking about the next generation. I'm not. I'm talking about the current generation right now, you know? Anyway,
are we not talking about PlayStation 6?
We brought it up earlier, but right now at the moment we're Call of Duty, because you brought up Call of Duty. I'm talking about now. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know right now that it sells better on PlayStation because, again, it's got a better install base.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm not talking about PS6. I don't know what's going to happen with PS6. Who knows? I can't say. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the hell we lost the plot here.
Obviously, Sony doesn't know what's going to happen with PlayStation 6 since they're not investing in it.
Yeah. all right. So let's move on to this next thing. So again, we got a lot of more PlayStation news for you guys. So let's get to this one here. So this is something that Sony's. So I'm reading this from Genki over on Twitter. Shout out to Genki and Kishak. Mm-hmm. I will read the rebuttal too because I know you didn't like this statement. So. Sony Senior Vice President Sadahiko Yayakawa says that they are gradually shifting their game business from a hardware-centric business model to a community and engagement-based platform business model. So here's a quote. In the gaming business, we are moving away from a hardware-centric business model more to a platform business that expands the community and increases engagement. That sounds like what Xbox is doing. Or am I bugging?
I don't know. I think a wise man once said...
the tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
but I do want to read what Kishak responded to me, and then we'll move the conversation forward. So this is what he says. Context. He said this afterwards, talking about this dude, the executive. He says, overall, Sony are making a shift to, quote, creation as a company, as the three segments of games, music, and pictures make up 60% of Sony's total revenue. For example, shifting from output devices like TVs into creation devices like digital cameras, also things like music streaming, music catalogs, Crunchyroll, and teaming up with Bandai Namco to create new entertainment and IP in the gaming business. The shift towards a platform business is increasing. He says that they are transitioning to entertainment creation to expand and to improve stability and profitability. I don't see what I just read has to do with what I read earlier. It sounds like two separate things. Or am I missing something here? Because to me, it sounds pretty clear. We're moving away from hardware focus to engagement focus. That seems pretty clear to me, you know? And I don't know what this whole creation stuff, how that factors in. But Kishak, you're there now. If you could explain it to me, because I'm maybe just being retarded right now. Please explain, brother.
I think that at least from that quote, the whole creation thing, it's like they're focusing on, you know, they're focusing on creating content, content like games and films and stuff, which is their bigger business. I'm guessing they're sort of got kind of going away, a little moving away from a lot of the hardware So this isn't actually a Sony PlayStation thing. This is mostly just a company-wide initiative in general.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So in other words, Sony and Sony, is looking to essentially, downplay a lot of the, like they're not making as much TV these days. They're not doing PCs anymore, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, right here, it says Sony is gradually shifting their gaming business from a hardware centric mm-hmm. business model. So it says right there, their gaming business. Mm-hmm. And here's, I was telling Manny about this earlier. Okay, you've sold 80 million units. Your closest competitor, if you can recall that, has sold 30 million. Why would you try to copy what your competitor is doing and failing at? Like, you would think, keep doing what you're doing, Or maybe they see something. Money. Yeah, but if they're already making more money.
How do you know they are?
Because they've sold 80 million units, and we saw Chris's financials reports.
We don't know what the profit margins are.
Do we? Well, Chris, if you could bring that up.
I realize that, but like, can we see the do we know the profit margin? Like, they're probably looking at their thing and they're saying we're not making dick for money selling hardware. We're making all of our money on selling internet access to people with consoles.
Yeah, like, I mean, it could be that. Yeah,
of our profits coming from.
Well, they attributed to third party sales and increase in network subscriptions and sales from they didn't mention hardware in there at all. But their operating income, like I said, was more than double last year. It went up 127%.
Yeah.
So that's a huge profit margin.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. So like if I'm selling lemonade on the street corner, right? And I'm selling it for 50 cents. Right. And I make twice as much money as I did last summer. Right. And I'm making a quarter profit per glass off that shit. And I'm making I sold twice as many cups of lemonade as I did last summer. Right. Now there's a lemonade across the street. They're selling half as many cups of lemonade as me. Right. But they're making 40 cents on each cup. Would it not behoove me to look at them and be like, well, they seem to be making a higher profit margin. Maybe there's some things there I could do. I mean, like literally. Like the infrastructure of selling access to online is next to nothing. You're basically just robbing people on both sides of the platform. Like it's the most ridiculous gatekeeping, low effort highway robbery thing. I mean, it's the digital equivalent of highway robbery. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you want to get on the internet? You're gonna have to go ahead and give me $10 if you want to be playing multiplayer this month. Like, go, like, that's
well, of course, they're like they're all doing it. They're all doing.
Oh, it. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's. I'm not saying it's one person is bad. I'm just saying, like, if they're looking at that and being like, oh, we're like, the return on this is way less volatile. It's way more consistent. It's one of our big profit factors. Of course, they're going to be looking into how to expand upon this. It doesn't matter how many more units they're selling than their competitor. If they can make more money, they're going to try and make more money. It doesn't matter if they're doing well. They have to do better.
Yeah, but again, and maybe it's because I'm just seeing this, from, an Xbox Game Pass standpoint and how, it's not doing bad, obviously, but it's not doing great. But then again, but PlayStation's version could just be different enough where it won't follow that same track. So maybe that's what will make it more appealing to people or has made it more appealing to people. I don't know. A lot of the stuff just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe I'm just too stupid and don't understand numbers, but...
I don't know, man. Like, I think I didn't realize, Game Pass is in the same range as, Hulu, Netflix? Like, at this point, it's just another subscription. It's not any more expensive than that. So, like, it's literally just become the Netflix of video games. And I'm thinking, that's really all they wanted, right? Like, they don't need the biggest blockbusters. They don't need the biggest bangers. They're just trying to be best value for your money. And they're trying to do the same thing where they're most of our stuff is in hardware. So if we can put our services on TVs.
They're really looking for you to forget that you left that fucking subscription on. That's what they're really looking for. That's most.
I think that's
most of the. That's they're all like, oh, we want engagement. No, you don't want fucking engagement. You just want to do a decent enough job to slightly justify why people are just leaving the fucking service on, continue to siphon money away from your fucking account. That's all. Man, it I don't really
know.
Is. Set it or forget it.
I mean, you can say that if you want, but as somebody who's never had the service under an Xbox, I think you're just kind of saying hearsay.
I have Netflix.
Yeah, but
and you a bunch have of other Game people, Pass?
Yeah. By the way, to be fair, and, you know, I did have Game Pass for years, and I did exactly that. I just kept subscribing for years and never used the damn thing until I realized, Tony, why are you paying for this shit? And, you never use it.
And
you know? But that's anecdotal, though, so that's not for everybody.
And I did have Game Pass, but I chose not to use for
any value.
I mean, that's fair. I spent $150 on video games.
The only games, like, and I still ended up buying the games that I got on Game Pass because I kind of wanted to keep them. Obviously wanted to keep them after I had already, you know, the service goes down, like Hi-Fi Rush and Hellblade. I wanted to keep those around. I want to
kind of bring this back to PlayStation and Brett, I want your thoughts on this. You know, going back to the whole there are just more PlayStation users. Do you think that's the reason why PlayStation Network is just, you know, doing better than Game Pass? Because you don't even get day one games, but I guess because there's just way more people. It's like 123 million people, I believe. You think it's just because of that? It's like, all right, we just have this many people, so just by sheer volume it's going to do better than Game Pass.
They're going to have more subscribers. They're going to make more money.
Because on paper, Game Pass offers the better value. Yet, you know, PlayStation is doing way better, which is crazy. You know,
it is. And I don't think I think that Xbox is so far in the doghouse. It would take them several generations to play catch up. The only thing that I think makes it, and this kind of tied back to the circle earlier when we were talking about PlayStation 6, like, I think that the only time that might become an issue is if the next generation comes around and you're like, man, like, if I'm playing Call of Duty and I just get day one games, like the Fallen Feathers game, Kingdoms of Amalur, like, bro, like there's like $150 worth of games that I've put on, that I've either bought or put on my wish list in the last month that are on Game Pass right now. Like, I canceled my Game Pass because I was like, bro, I'm back recovering from back surgery. I'm like trying to be, you know, save some fucking money here.
Yeah.
And I just watched a video today about like what's going on Game Pass. I'm like, God damn it. Like, half the fucking games that I've wanted to buy are already on this son of a bitch. But like, I'm kind of like Manny in the, I'm like, I want to own these games, but honestly, like, I think I want to own these games, but then I play them and I like never come back to them. My backlog is so fucking deep that I just finished Tainted Grail, and that game was amazing, and I want to play it again. Will I? Maybe. y'all know me. I finished that game, being like, beginning to end credits, and for me that's fucking weird. Usually I get like 80% of the way through and I'm like, I get bored. The story here is fucking predictable. I've unlocked all the things, so I'm gonna get as powerful as I'm gonna be. At this end, it's just like a bunch of like fucking fan service and I'm kind of done. So like I get bored and I tap out and I move on from like probably 80% of the games that I play. So the fact that I finished that one speaks highly of it, but like that motherfucker's on Game Pass. Like, everything's on fucking Game Pass, but I don't know if I'm gonna come back to it. And so I don't know if honestly I'm making a good decision by being like, no, I want to own these things because I own them on Steam. Do I literally fucking own them? As they're literally delisting shit on Steam right now. Do I own it more than I do on Game Pass? I don't fucking know. Who cares what anybody knows about or owns anything anymore? I don't know, man. I don't know. So like, I'm probably tapping out and going PC, but I can see in the one instance where if Sony hasn't really delivered value by the time the next generation comes out, I think you might see some more people transitioning over. And then maybe, I don't know, like a generation after that, like there's no, it's not going to flip flop in a generation. But like, again, if I could sit here and do the math, be like, all right, so like if I'm paying $60 a year for a Call of Duty or $80 a year for a Call of Duty, why not just get the $60 for a year of Call of Duty because it comes with a bunch of other free games and shit. Just, and also it's $20 cheaper. And that's if I buy it monthly. Like if I buy it yearly, then I don't even know. And I think my math might be fucked up on that. I might be retarded.
Don't ask me to verify, because when you were giving that lemonade numbers, I just heard like, I don't know what the fuck my man's saying. Well, Kishak, we give him some good stuff here. He goes, The brand name of Xbox has become MUD this generation. No, it became MUD last generation. TV Sports ruined it. Let's just be honest. Brett, here's one's for you. Brett, the thought of playing a game is more enjoyable for me than actually playing it, so my backlog has become huge.
Oh, bro, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Ah, God. Ah. And I don't know why that was one of the things that I swear to God I'm not being sponsored here. That was one of the things I actually did like about Game Pass is it set the bar for entry so low that I was just like, oh, I'll download it. I'll try it. That was pretty good. All right, moving on. Like, even buying things off of like the Steam sale, like I'm like, okay, gotta wait for a Steam sale. I gotta buy this and buy this and buy this and buy this and buy this. And then, yeah, I'm like so excited about the idea of buying things. And then I'm going through my backlog of games I haven't played. I'm like, ah, I don't know, man. None of these. It's like they're going to be something to play right now. And then my stupid ass looks on fucking Game Pass and I'm like, well, there's something on there. There's always something on there. And like, it drives me crazy because like, I want to own physical discs and I don't want to be sucked into this thing of like, nobody knows how, you know, if Game Pass really like took off and became the default thing, like how that would change the development of games and this, that, and the other. Like, I just want to own my fucking games. But like, even like I say, like to me, like about Manny, like I want to own my games too, but like, do I come back to them? No, I just end up spending more money on principal. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't, because it is a good value. And especially if I were just a Call of Duty guy or a play one kind of game, like fuck, man, if I find a game a month to play on there, that's shit. For a hardcore gamer, that's not hard to do.
He says you've become a digital hoarder.
I think anybody who kind of moves over to PC becomes a digital hoarder.
I have, absolutely.
The Steam sales will do that to you.
Absolutely. $2? I will take that. I'll take 10 of those. You know how it is, man. All right, let's move on to this next story. Still about PlayStation. Sony, this one's interesting. Because, you know, Bungie ain't been doing too good lately under PlayStation. And, of course, the link here I have is from fucking Forbes, which is ad blocked or whatever. Anyway, Sony is thinking about absorbing Bungie into PlayStation Studios. So they won't be independent anymore, basically. Oh, well, you knew this was going to happen, you know?
No, they're like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. What the fuck did we buy? You know, to be honest, they should have done some research into that studio before they started down there. You know,
yeah,
because it's seriously, they like bought like this jalopy that had multiple occasions. This had multiple occasions has proven that they can't survive because of their own management. I mean, you know, back in Destiny, remember how they said how much Destiny cost and how many years ago, or how the developers were unhappy with the way things going, or the crazy pivot that they did when they were plot out of Destiny?
Yeah, so
this is all after.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. So basically, so I'm reading this off a PC Gamer, and I like their headline here. Sony has seen enough. 3 years after acquiring Bungie, Sony says the days of independence are getting lighter and its future is to become part of PlayStation Studios. Bungie was intended to operate as an independent subsidiary when it was acquired in 2022, but that hasn't worked out, clearly. Destiny's not doing well. Look at all the shit that's happening with Marathon. And Sony's like, all right, that's it. Enough of this nonsense. Can't say I'm surprised. Let me read this real quick. At the time of acquisition, we were offering a very independent environment, so that was one way of thinking. However, thereafter, we have gone through structural reform as we announced last year, so this independence is getting lighter. Yeah, I mean, you guys haven't produced results, you know? That's what you get.
I might be wrong here.
Uh-oh.
Did Destiny not go free-to-play since their acquisition?
I think they went free-to-play before the acquisition. I could be wrong about that. Let us know in the chat. Before. I think it was before, yeah. So, yeah, what do you guys think about this? Sony, you're saying, yeah, you're part of us now. Fuck this shit. Fuck this independent stuff.
If the Bungie leaders from, you know, 10 years ago saw the news in the future, they'd probably shoot themselves.
Oh, shit.
that was their whole shtick. It's like, we don't want to be part of Microsoft anymore because we want to be independent. Oh, let's go to the EA. EA
bubble. Wow.
We don't want to be with EA because we want to be independent.
Oh, let's go with Sony.
Let's go to Sony.
I just, I just want to make sure I have this correct. Like, the company that wants to be independent, Sony, or from Microsoft, gets... No, never mind.
What's up?
I just don't like. It's just,
They wanted to be independent, so they left. They left Microsoft, and they let themselves be purchased by Activision.
By EA. We want to be independent from Microsoft. Go to Activision. We want to be independent from Activision. Then they go to Sony.
They go to Sony. No, I think, to be honest, I think this is something that goes back to the beginnings of where Bungie was after they had left Microsoft. I think whoever's on top over there is looking to get an extra bump to some money, no sales. I don't think it has anything to do with making fucking games.
Well, okay, sorry, I just remembered the thought that I had lost. I want to get this straight. So Sony can't make a game after repeated attempts and failures to match Halo. So when Halo breaks free, Sony buys them and then goes, you know what? I think we can make your games better than you can. Like,
I don't, they didn't say that. It's just like, they didn't say that. They're just like, you guys aren't producing results. We're no more independence for you. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, but the whole reason that they bought them was because they couldn't replicate their results.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I'm just saying they didn't say we could do it better than you. They didn't say that part. I just want to be clear on that.
Well, no. It just seems like Sony, you've never been able to capture that lightning in a bottle. I'm not saying that Bungie's doing a great job, but I'm saying you've never you made so many games to try and compete with Halo. And none of them kicked off. Like, it's just, are we going to make a new Killzone? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, hold on. I got a Rico in here. He wants to talk about Killzone. Kishak says, I swear Bungie has a submission kink with all these past owners. hurt me, daddy, hurt me.
Well, The third marriage is it, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, it's over. It's like, that's it.
It's over. That's it.
We're going to chain you to the kitchen, bitch. It's crazy, man. So, yeah, I think, Bungie, man. And I still maintain, I could be wrong about this, but I still maintain Marathon's going to get canceled. Just at least this iteration of it. They may start from scratch. They may say, fuck this shit, you know?
Most of Bungie's talent leave years ago anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a problem with a lot of these studios, Brett. You know, like the people who made, you know, Dragon's Age, they're gone.
No.
You know, that's why we have Dragon Age now.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, yes, okay. All right, sorry, this has stood for a minute, yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So there you go. Any last thoughts on, you know, Destiny's fate, or excuse me, Bungie's fate?
Bungie is destined to fail.
Yes, there you go. It's a good richism.
Destined right to
there.
Fail.
Yeah, destined to fail.
I have a joke to make, but I can't make it, so I'll tell you off air.
Uh oh.
But it does involve Bungie rope.
Bungie had it coming, Dio says, and he's a big Destiny guy. But even he's fed up with the nonsense, you know? I don't blame him. I don't blame him. All right. So next story here, still Sony. I think this might be the last Sony story of the night. Yes, it is. So during that same, you know, earnings call we were talking about where that other statement came from, Sony CFO admits that live service shift is not entirely going smoothly in the wake of Marathon and Concord. Takes a big hit off of I like this headline. Takes a big hit of cope. Says it's not all bad because Helldivers 2 and Destiny 2 exist. Like, these games suck, but we still got this. I don't know if you should be propping up Destiny 2, though. Helldivers 2 is a success, though. Absolutely. But Chris, it's like, okay, you have Helldivers 2, big success, but I think the failure of Concord is even bigger, you know?
Failure of Concord is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, eating the cost of that, Marathon is yet to come, Fair Games is yet to come. I looking forward, like from there on, yeah. Life services is just L after L, right?
Yeah.
So what, you know, I, and it's like, okay, so all you're going to bank, the cope is going to just going to become, well, at least we have plenty of third-party support and subscription. Right?
Chris.
Yeah.
what you don't understand is this is a sprint, not a marathon.
Yeah.
Oh.
We got jokes for days here on Throwdown, you know?
Got them coming.
Bungie can only sprint so hard, then they throw you in the basement.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, man. I guess just like marathon, you know, they ran 26 miles and they died, you know? All right. So this is a quote from the CFO here. And mind you, it's translated from Japanese, so a little funky. Somewhat negative news has been coming out. But if we look at the past 5 years, 5 years ago, live service games were almost non-existent for PlayStation Studios. We now have Helldivers 2, MLB The Show, and Gran Turismo 7, and Bungie's Destiny 2. So we have these four live service games contributing to sales and profits in a stable manner. That's the success stories right there. I didn't realize Gran Turismo 7 was a live service game. But I guess it is. But
I realize MLB The Show was a live service game.
I guess it is. Brett, we're learning something tonight. I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, they're not making successful live service games. No. They're turning successful games into live service games.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. So those are the successes. But I still think the failure of Concord kind of mitigates all that stuff. That's got to be the biggest failure in all of gaming. Because how other games that failed still came out and are still out there, more or less. This game is gone. They obliterated it, you know? They just zapped that out of existence.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see, we'll never get this, but just how much money Concord cost post and pre-Sony acquisition.
Oh, shit.
Because it seems like, you know, from the recent, you know, financials, it doesn't seem like they've seen that big of a hit.
Yeah, that's the thing. That financial report is very strange to me. Because you're right. It's like, it doesn't seem like Concord affected anything, you know? Which scares me because I'm like, I want them to learn a lesson from that, you know, even if it hurts. But they're like, steady as she goes.
Next service game.
Oh, man. Stop it. Stop it right now. Right,
I think it would bother them when they started this. Until that happens, and honestly, it's probably to happen. They know they can pay their business.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true. This is the arrogant Sony we were warning about. There you go. It's here.
But they're not wrong. That's the problem. Like, they're wrong.
Yeah. No, they're not. All right, man. Let's move on. That's the last of the Sony stuff. For the rest of the show, we're going to talk about some positive stuff for a change. Now, I saw this.
Change.
Yeah. You know, people like the drama, man. Okay, so the first thing here, and I saw this morning, and it made me very happy. Digital Foundry, as you know, one of our favorite websites out there, YouTube channels. It do a lot of good stuff when it comes to game analysis, and even talking about retro games and all this really good stuff. I enjoy them very much. A lot of, you know, I like the host and everything. John Linneman's a really cool dude. Manny and I got to meet him at E3, you know, very kind to us. Cool stuff. They have been pretty much section of Eurogamer pretty much for a long time. And something I didn't know, IGN actually owned them. And Manny, you could get into the specifics of all that later. But now Digital Foundry has gone independent. No more corporate overlords for them, you know, which is very, very good. Because these guys were already making enough money on their own. They're like, so basically, Richard Linkletter, he's the founder. He bought his shares. Yeah, he bought his shares back. And that's it. They've gone independent. Basically, they said they're not a lot is going to change. But now it's going to allow them to do more. Because, you know, Manny, you're going to get into this. There's a lot of things they wanted to do. But they just had to go through all this corporate bullshit. So, Manny, you could explain some of that.
Yeah, so like their company has been sold when they were a part of another company, were essentially bought over by another company. Eventually, that company ended up being owned by Zip Davis, which was IGN.
That's
company.
IGN, yeah.
So the thing about it is that they, you know, there are things that they want to do, but they also had to okay that with the big guys, right? You know, with the main studio, like, okay, so that's why, you know, somebody like Linneman couldn't do like more retro gaming things, because he's like, even on their thing, they explained that they're going to be talking about old games. They can't justify that. It's all about the new thing, right? Yeah. So now that this allows them to have the freedom to be able to sort of pursue the things they want. Obviously, they had a Patreon already mm-hmm. that was already set up to sort of do this to already you know, that they could to help them to fund themselves. I think it's really good that they're finally removed themselves from the corporate overlord. As much as, you know, people, you know, go to these sites because they're these zeitgeist terms, word of the show. Don't everybody needs to yell the next time they hear zeitgeist.
Yeah.
But but yeah, it's like, you know, that's the biggest problem with a lot of there. It's like these go-to places that don't need to really work for any of the shit that they got is because everybody knows the name, everybody goes to it. So it's like now they're free of that and now they can do some other, which is good. I find their content is always good. Their podcasts and they pretty much taught the industry how to fucking benchmark things, and they even said it themselves. The research and stuff that they did on their own end just by the visuals has changed the way games have, you know, handled their optimization. Good stuff.
Yeah. No, again, it's good that they're going to be, and they said they're not going to really change too much, at least initially, and they're not going to like put up much of any paywalls, because they said they pretty much are getting a lot of their like the money really comes from Patreon, and even on Patreon they're not offering a lot of crazy stuff. It's more like, hey, you know, they just taking money just because people want to offer it to them, which is good. And they said right here, it's like now they only answer to the fans. That's it. That's all. That's that. Those are their overlords now. And that's the way it should be. Not fucking IGN. But again, yeah. Didn't you tell me it's like, yeah, like he had to justify why he should do a video, a retro gaming thing. It's like, that's stupid. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, but IGN, yeah. You know, it's going to be IGN.
IGN. They're like, oh, is that going to get us more engagement? Is that going to get more people watching? Oh, well, why don't you talk about the new game?
Yeah,
you know, get those numbers.
When it comes to that kind of stuff, when they're presenting ideas, not only they're not, and it's kind of unfortunate, but you know, the Digital Foundry guys, when they're doing videos for Digital Foundry, they have to justify it by because they're getting paid for, you know, doing these videos. So I'm guessing, you know, they have to bring up those ideas to the corporate guys, be like, hey, we want to make this video. It has to be billable for them. And now they can just do whatever they want, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. One thing that I read at the Verge article, because they really did an extensive story on this. They were talking about how right now they do have a website, but it mainly just acts as just a portal to their videos. So they're like seeing, because remember, whenever their videos went up, there was an article, you know, on Eurogamer where you could read. And that's how I did a lot of it, because, you know, if I'm at work, I'm not going to start watching a video. It's easier for me to read their article. They say they don't have any plans for written articles now, but they may do that eventually. But right now, you know, the main thing is just the YouTube channel, which yes. is, you know, let's just be honest. That's just the way of the future when it comes to journalism in general.
Yeah, they also brought up, was it the fact that the algorithms have sort of killed, you know, no, excuse me, the AI that shows up at the Google, top of the Google
yeah.
Essentially killed all of people going to other sites
mm-hmm.
because all it does is just give you all the aggregate information of whatever information was on those sites.
Yeah, and that's not hearsay. I work in publishing, and I can tell you that is true. I'm not going to give you numbers. I could tell you guys off air, but every website across the board, doesn't matter what website, if you're a journalist website, you have seen a big decrease in traffic because of that AI bullshit that sometimes or oftentimes uses your own work, as cites your own work, but most people aren't going to click on the source. So that's why YouTube could be a potential safe haven in some cases, you know, until whatever the fuck happens in that area with AI, you know, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, no, shout out to these guys. I always say they do the Lord's work. Very unique when it comes to gaming. I can't think of another gaming entity that does what they do. Like you said, they pretty much set the standard for a lot of this shit. You know, so I'm really glad they're around doing their thing, and I'm glad they're going to keep doing it independently. You know, I'm one of the dozen left that enjoy the articles. Thank you, Kishak. I appreciate that, man. You know, don't just look at the stupid AI overview, because a lot of the time that AI overview is fucking wrong too. You know, sometimes it gets shit right when it quotes you directly, but sometimes it doesn't. And it's like, wait, what the fuck? Like, that shit is just objectively wrong, you know? Anyway, shout out to Digital Foundry. All right, so this is for my own purposes. I want to talk about Evo, bro. It happened last weekend, and the thing about this show, other than the matches were great and everything, there was a lot of big announcements, a lot of big fighting game announcements. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to be biased. I'm not really going to go over the anime fighting game stuff because I don't care about that shit. Like Underknife in Birth or whatever. Don't give a fuck about that. So sorry. Anyway, let's go through it. So we got a reveal for Crimson Viper. We knew she was coming, but we got like a nice reveal teaser. She has a really cool new look now. Her hair is all out. Titties popping out as always. And she's going to be dropping in the fall, I believe. So we're probably not going to get a gameplay trailer so closer to that. We just got Sagat in Street Fighter VI, and he's fucking good. I just played through his story mode. Lots of fun there. Obviously, we had the summer outfits, the goon pack, as I like to call it, the Capcom wants all your money pack. They weren't holding back. Like the age of, you know, ugly women in video games is over. You know, everybody's looking good. Capcom is looking to fund Street Fighter 7 with the new summer outfits. That's right. Like, and what's cool about it is like for Chun-Li and Cammy, their summer outfits are actually like an homage to like a swimsuit thing they did years ago, like a drawing and stuff, all the Street Fighters in the beach and stuff. So it's kind of cool seeing them in like
3D. it was like an old promo image.
Yeah,
it was like a old promo image that they had done for like, this is like Street Fighter 2 time.
Oh yeah, they did this. Mm-hmm. Yep, this was so, Street Fighter 2 time. Yeah,
if you have the Capcom illustrations book, you can actually see what piece that is. Yeah, so, yeah, they're wearing those outfits.
Yeah, but you know, they still got two guys in there too. They got Jamie and Luke, you know, for the ladies.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, hey, listen, give everybody something, you know, give the ladies something too.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's, I mean, to be honest, that's all they've done that before. Mm-hmm. Where they'll put a guy in a fucking, you know, a banana hammock, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, like there's people, you know, people like those sorts of, and it goes both directions. Marvel did the swimsuit issue years ago, and they did the same thing. They gave the guys the things, they gave the women the things. Everybody got themselves a swimsuit. So
yeah, but in this one, it's kind of interesting. It seems like it's only going to be these characters that get swimsuits. I think what they're doing is they're doing themes, and it's like they'll pick seven characters. Here's the theme for these seven characters, because it wouldn't make sense to release summer outfits like in fucking winter or something. So I think winter will get its own like version of something. So good stuff. And people have been kind of asking for this for years now with Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter 6 has been so successful. They've just been like, we don't need to release outfits right now. But I really think it's because it was all hands on deck for Monster Hunter. Now that Monster Hunter, you know, it's, you know, out and stuff, they can focus on this Resident Evil 9, Pragmata. Like, you're noticing as soon as that game came out, Capcom's other stuff finally started getting shine too, you know? Okay, it's moving on here. We got some Tekken 8 news. So basically, we got a good reveal for Armor King, and we got a brand new character from Madagascar. So I want to talk about this new character because Twitter had to be Twitter about this shit, right? They revealed this character. What is this girl's name? Myra Zoe. I'm probably saying that wrong, right? Instantly, Twitter got upset. Like, oh! That she doesn't even look African. What the fuck is this shit? You know, the usual, you know, woke people just going crazy, right? Like, she doesn't look African. She just looks like some Hispanic woman. They're all screaming. The next day, Madagascar, the actual country, in their newspaper, were so happy that they were represented in this game, and they really liked the new character. Doesn't this remind you of Ghost of Tsushima? Remember you had all those, like, you know, upset white liberals on Twitter, like, oh god, how dare a Western studio do this? Meanwhile, Japan's like, this is great, you did this right. And Harada, you know, the producer of Tekken, actually came out and You know, he said that they went to Madagascar and spent a bunch of months there, not only visiting the big cities, but the rural areas, talking to people and stuff. Because the thing with Madagascar, as I learned, it's actually a mix of like a bunch of different areas and stuff. Because like everybody's expecting like your kind of stereotypical like sub-Saharan African look. But Madagascar, you know, they have those people there too, but it's a mix of different peoples and stuff. But again, my thing is like, if the people of Madagascar are happy, you should probably shut up. Like, that's it, right? They're happy with it. They're cool with it. So the new character, I believe, is going to be coming out later, this year, which is really cool. Next up, Virtua Fighter, bro. We finally got more footage of Virtua Fighter 6 and it looks insane. They basically had like, they had Akira and Stella, not Sarah, Stella, in like a training board, and the animation just looks so clean, man. Really brutal stuff, and you could tell they weren't using canned animations from the previous game. These are brand new animations, new cutaways and stuff. There's even a point where like Akira hits Stella and she kind of has like a scar on her face or something, and then when he hits her again it like explodes. So I'm wondering if you could like deliver damage, and then like if you hit him again you could deliver more damage, which is something you haven't seen before. And then at the end, the showpiece here, you know, Stella does this like kick on Akira and it zooms in on his face and you see his fucking teeth fly out. I'm like, bro, like this is the Virtua Fighter I've been waiting for, and thankfully we won't have to wait too long because they said that we're gonna see more at Tokyo Game Show. I believe Tokyo Game Show, Dio, you're there. Correct me. I believe it's end of September. That's when it usually happens. So fucking hype for that. We had the reveal for the Guilty Gear Strive, the Lucy from Cyberpunk. I've never seen the anime, so I can't really speak on it, but she looks cool. I'll say that. Thank you, Dio. September. City of the Wolves, we got Ken. I played with him in City of the Wolves. He's really cool. He's a little overpowered for that cast. Like, Ken is doing all this wild shit. And then, of course, we got Marvel Tokon. We're going to get a beta in early September, people. This shit is crazy. Bro, when I saw, because they had a bunch of developer things about this game. And I thought I was like stupid because they're explaining the mechanics of this game. And I'm like, I don't understand what they're telling me. This is insane. And then the FGC, you know, even guys that have been doing this forever, like, yo, this is mechanically fucking dense. So it's not just me. They're just throwing a lot of shit in there. But I think a lot of the confusion comes from we are looking at this game as if it's Marvel versus Capcom, but it's not. It's really more like Guilty Gear or like Grand Blue or other Arc System Work games. But it looks fucking legit, man. Like it looks a lot nicer than even did before. So you know I'm gonna get into that closed beta, man. I don't know if they disclose how you can get into the closed beta, but that'll be available. And then the last one I want to talk about, there's other stuff, but I don't give a fuck about these anime games. Invincible Versus, well, got Omni-Man. Oh, surprise! Omni-Man's in an Invincible game. One thing I was talking to my boy Jeffrey, and he said that the game looks better than it did a couple months ago, and it's true. Like you could tell, they did a lot of cleanup here. No more word on this. It's just here's Omni-Man, and there you go. Oh, also, quick thing: Capcom Fighting Collection, collection of old games, is getting an update. It's crazy. Basically, they're gonna add, because a lot of people were complaining about Street Fighter Alpha Upper. They were like, "Hey, you don't have the four extra characters from the PSP game." Manny, they threw the four extra characters from the PSP game. It's pretty cool.
There you go. They got everybody. They got everybody now. They put Eagle. Well, Eagle, yeah, and Eagle. What's her face? Those
Eagle were, Ingrid. Those left. Yeah.
Eagle and Ingrid are they were in the PSP, but they weren't first. Though they are from the SNK game.
Actually, Eagle and what's the ninja girl's name? I'm forgetting.
What's her face from Final Fight?
Yes. Yeah. Maki. Ingrid is from Fighting Evolution,
Fighting Evolution, yeah,
and Yun, you know, from Street Fighter 3. But I think it's cool, like, because again, that was people's complaints, like, hey, you should have had the PSP version. Well, they gave you that now, more or less. Question:
You gotta have Eagle in there. Come on,
Eagle's cool, man. Tony, how many characters do you think Tokon should have at release since it's a 4v4 fighter? I would, okay, I'm going to answer it two ways. I would like it to have 24, But I think realistically, on the low end, on the low end, I think it'll be 16, but it's probably going to be 20. Because 20 is a good number you could divide by four. And I'll say this, I said this before, this is a 4v4 game. You better have the Fantastic Four in this bitch. Because you have never had the Fantastic Four in a Marvel versus Capcom fighting game or any fighting game that I know of. I could be wrong about that last part, but like in Marvel versus Capcom, you never had those four characters. You had Super Skrull. That's about as close as you got, you know? Yep, I'm happy about that because I can't find my PSP charger. You're crazy, Dio. But yeah, Evo was hype. The matches were really good too. Hopefully I get to go next year, you know, man. By the way, yo, what's up, bro?
I missed part of that conversation with the Tokon.
Yeah.
So I have a question and maybe it was already answered.
Oh,
have we gotten all the characters or no. Is it
we only,
at least the launch characters?
No, we haven't gotten that yet. Cause remember this game isn't dropping until next year, you know? They didn't announce any new characters that we didn't already know of. Dio, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I didn't see any new characters that we didn't already know of in this gameplay.
Evo would have been a great time to at least give one of them. That would have been more hype.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Dio says the unofficial community manager Maximilian said 20 as well. He's the unofficial community manager. That's funny, man. But yeah, man, good stuff at Evo. And the last thing we're going to talk about, and this one's fun. You guys may have heard that there was a Metal Gear Delta event in New York City this past week. A lot of the big influencers were talking about it. I didn't get to go, but Manny got to go. So I'm going to give the show over to him. He can tell you stories. And I'm going to tell you right now, Manny got to play Metal Gear Solid Delta, but he ain't telling you shit about it because we are under embargo, baby. When is the embargo? Yep. Wait and see, you know?
Wait and see.
Yeah.
We can't say that right now, but, you know, eventually we'll be able to talk about it. One thing to know about the event is, and this is something they didn't talk about in the initial advertisement, people who did actually get to go actually got to play the game. What I can say is they played 40 minutes of the game, which is the Virtuous Man. Anything after that, they were not all. They had to move on.
You're allowed to say you played the Virtuous Mission. You're allowed to say that.
Okay. I can say that I played the Virtuous Mission.
Okay. Yes,
because that is how much that they allowed.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, tell us about the event, man. What did you see? You know, who was there?
So I went sort of at a whim. I sort of had a mission because one of the folks from MGSCon, which would be at next month, this month, the 23rd, it wanted something from the show. What this thing is was a pop-up event where you could where you could buy some of the merchandise and also get a chance to play Metal Gear Delta. You had to go online and you could do it, or you could just go in and do the little event and get some set. So it was a fun thing. And I to be honest, like, you know, obviously me being obviously you guys know I worked at Konami for years and all kinds of I didn't get invited. I wasn't like, but to be honest, I wasn't really like, you know, mad about anything like that because and I've said this or two, because there was a lot of people like, oh man, are you at the event? Like, you know, saying like that. I'm like, well, no, I'm not like invited to the event, but I'm going to go out and, you know, hang out on the line and, you know, check out people. In fact, I did see a couple of people that we knew, you know, some fans and stuff like who popped up on the line and said, hey, nice. What's up, Emilio? Stuff like that. So it was nice to see folks there. It was a cool experience. The way it worked is that, so when you go in to the event space, they have a little area where you could purchase like some cool merchandise. They had some stuff that was exclusive to the event where it was like these cool pins and stuff, and then you could also buy this really cool poster by this artist. His name is escaping me, but he did draw like the Uncharted, one of the Uncharted collection. He was there doing a signing. So he was signing the big posters so you could buy the book and everything. And then they also had a thing where you could pre-order you know, specific event exclusive items. So like they had a shirt, they had a cool jacket that you could get, they had a little cool like fanny pack slash the bag that you could get, and as well as a vinyl, you know, a red vinyl version, the soundtrack to Snake Eater. And then what they do is they'll, after you spent your time there, they walk you into this big area, which is giant, like a projector room. And it's of, on one wall is a Snake. You know, it's the end of the game. Oh, to utter spoiler if people didn't play the game. But yeah, it's the end of the game. So it's like big bosses on one side, and then there's the boss on the other side, and they're in this, the, you know, those fields of flowers. So the room is actually made up to look like the field of flowers that they're standing in. So there's actually flowers in the center of the room and all that stuff there too. So it was really cool. And every so often, you know, they let you, you know, sit there and you watch the, watch the lines that she says at the thing, and then the whole room changes and does all kinds of stuff. It's really kind of a cool virtual experience. That's cool. And then after that, what they'll do is they led everybody down into the gaming spaces downstairs, and they did all kinds of, you know, you get to play a little game and, you know, check it all. So it was really cool. They had a couple of fun surprises. You know, I'm sure if you guys were paying attention to the social medias, you saw that, you know, David Hayter was in town for it. And also Lori Allen, who is the voice of the boss, was in as well as the lady who sang the theme song to Snake Eater. She was also there, too. So if you went in thinking, oh, hey, this is a pop-up event and I get to do a little demoing, you got to meet some of them too, because they were all sort of hanging around and stuff. So Lori Allen, which is kind of cool, my good buddy who's a cosplayer named Ruby Taki actually made a boss outfit.
That's awesome.
So she was dressed up. She was all done up like the boss, and the suit looks amazing. Like, it looks like good. So and she just sort of hung around and and met the fans for like the first few hours before they had to kind of go and do different things as far as the stuff. So I got to, you know, got to talk to Lori a little bit, and, you know, super nice lady. She's done a whole bunch of stuff. She was on Family Guy and all a bunch of other things. It was great to see her and meet her. And then also David Hayter was skulking around there too, you know, saying what's up to people. I joke. Me being me, I'm not gonna talk to David Hayter about about Metal Gear stuff, because I'm sure he's heard about Metal Gear shit like till like he's blue in the face. So I was just like, shooting the shit with him and just saying, hey, like, you know, how long you're in town? And we got to talking about flights. He's got another. I'm like. I asked him, so how long are you in town? Are you like sticking around, or are you just gonna jet off somewhere else? And he's like, oh well, you know, I got a bunch. I have a whole schedule of places that I need to convention before I end up back in California for MGS Con. He's like, next week we're going up to right after this I'm going straight up to like one of the European conventions. He started talking about like, yeah, he's like, those European flights are awesome, and they have like two level business classes, incredible there. They have like two level like planes and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, that's awesome. So yeah, at this event, not talking to David Hayter, just about flights. Great stuff.
That's funny.
But it was really cool. Like all the people was there. I got some folks I haven't seen in a good long time. Like I haven't been doing too many conventions as of late. You know, in the last 5 years, I mean, what with my job at the time, just sort of like kind of getting back in the swing of thing and sort of seeing people again. So like I haven't, Ruby, it's been a little bit, I've seen her fairly recently, but it's been a while. And then, you know, some of the folks behind the scenes at Konami, I know a lot of the brand marketing guys over there and a lot of the other people there. So it was nice to see all those guys in person, because usually, you know, if this was the normal thing, we would have been at E3 and I would have seen them, because but no, E3 doesn't exist. In fact, the last, I always have this luck. The E3 that finally my stuff is featured on a pretty decent property, you know, Contra, like then E3 totally just shits the bed.
Ain't that right something,
after,
man?
The year after. the year after. So yeah, I haven't seen a lot of these guys since I was doing, you know, doing this stuff for Contra, with promoting the Contra game and doing artwork for it and all kinds of stuff. So it was nice to see everybody again and be like, hey, what's up? How you been? You know, granted, I talked to some of these guys just by, you know, texting. They're more friends, executive, but you know, it was good to be. And then again, the amount of Metal Gear fans that showed up, hopefully there'll be a video, because they're taking a shitload of footage of the whole event.
Yeah,
you'll get to see, like, they had from when I was there, they had a guy dressed fully done up in the big boss gear. So he looked amazing. Like, he just looked like he stepped out of the game. And there was another girl that was dressed up like paramedic that was sort of walking around. There was another person that dressed up like Revolver Ocelot, which I got a picture. It was because again, Laurie Allen, the voice of the boss, was sort of hanging out and, you know, doing meet and greets before people would go into the little gaming space. And, you know, there was a guy dressed up like Ocelot. There's all kinds of people that just sort of showed up. But one interesting thing about this event, though, I don't know if how big the promotion was for it, you know, how last minute it was, because it seemed like there was it was definitely a steady amount of people. But it wasn't mob, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, you know, like they let people experience the way they always said it was weird. It reminded me of if you would go to an E3 booth, you know, like they'll do a little show for you, and then they'll send you down to the game station. It's like that. Like, you know, they'll bring you in, they'll set you up to the game station, and then you go around. You like,
yeah,
same
that
thing
makes
like
sense.
That. Just like how cool. Plot work. So it was sort of like a mini E3 event, you know, in New York, which was pretty awesome. But yeah, again, not an insane amount of people, but a decent amount. Definitely towards 6 o'clock, there was a lot more, because that was when I think 6 or 7 is when the event ended. So it started at 9 and ended at 6 or 7.
That's cool, man. Sounds like it was a lot of fun. And then, go ahead.
And, like, you know, the day before was press day. So, yeah. Like, Danny Pena was there. I didn't see him around.
Okay.
He was probably already, because they had a bunch of different other things that they had the journalists and influencers to do on the day that they were doing the open to the public version of the event. And Jake Baldino was also around. Yep. And they got some pretty cool swag. If you see some of the stuff that they got, like, they had a cool jacket and they got a couple of other things too. So yeah, that was a really cool thing. It was fun to do. I wish I'd like to see more things like that, more open to the public events, allowing people to get their hands on titles. I feel like, you know, again, E3 sort of, you know, shitting the bed. And what is that show?
Summer Game Fest, baby.
And summer.
Oh, man, he got distracted by getting a drink.
I got me a drink.
Yeah. Right. So hot.
Oh, shit. So yeah, like Summer Games Fest really doesn't do that. Like, they're not really like a public facing. If they are, it's sort of lightly public, but it's not like anything. Like, I mean, definitely, you know, Richard could probably, you know, probably give a better sense of what it is compared to, you know, he's been there like multiple times.
Yeah. So, Rich, what do you think about that? Is Summer Game Fest as big as like E3 when it comes to like public stuff? Let's see if Rich shows up. Well, maybe he has his fries. All right, guess not. But anyway, sounds like you had a good time there. And yeah, I agree that, you know, it would be good that if we get more. Oh, there's yep. Rich.
Sorry about that. Yes. No, that Summer Game Fest is a media only event. There's no public.
Oh, okay. So it's definitely smaller then.
Yeah. But IGN Live has their own show, like, around the same time. That is for the public. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but in general, yeah, I agree that it would be good to get more events like that. In general, it's like, yo, the pandemic's over, let's have some fun, you know.
Gamescom is the only one. Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show. Those are the two things that right now that are like the big game things. I mean, I get you could say PAX, but PAX isn't.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, it's not.
PAX is a little bit more than that. It's definitely a cool, very well run, like, you know, public facing event, but it's not like you're not getting like places like Konami or. Sometimes you'll get Nintendo, but Nintendo was like, nah, man, we got this thing on the other side of town. We don't need to deal with you, PAX.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
Yeah, well, Nintendo's not very favorable to public events anyway. There was somebody wanted to do like a like a marathon stream for charity. That was a Mario Kart stream. Nintendo shut that down real quick, you know? And even going back to Evo a little bit, people were wondering, hey, how come we didn't have Smash Melee? Because Nintendo said, no, you're not playing that fucking game, you know, there. So anyway.
They're like at a Sony owned
forget event? About it.
Hell no.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Good stuff, man. Thanks for that report there. Speaking about that, because I forgot to do this during the segment, because my friend Jeffrey went to Evo and he brought me a present. So we're gonna unwrap it here. And this is how you could tell Jeffrey's New York as fuck. He puts it inside of, you know, your standard Chinese takeout bag.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know how it is. If you're from New York, you understand.
Because you got a whole, he's probably got like a bag in the closet with a bunch of bags.
Yeah, so let's see what this is. Ooh, is this like a desk mat? Let's see what this is. Yeah, it looks like a desk mat, which I could use because mine's just getting a little fucked up. Whoa, shit. Check this out. Can you guys see this?
Oh, yeah, look at that. It's Ken, Chun-Li, and Terry Bogard, and Maya on a mat.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So what's fun? I got to bring this out so you can hear me. What's fun about this? This is actually Evo Moment 37. Justin Wong, you know, the parry. I don't know if you guys can see that. That's actually what it represents. It represents Evo Moment 37. You can't fucking hear me. But yeah, this is cool. Thank you, Jeffrey. I will definitely be using it. Yeah, this is Shinkiro art. You know.
Yep. He did a few new pieces.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Shinkiro? I still call him the SNK guy. He's been at Capcom way longer. Much, much longer than he has been at SNK. But, you know, when you think of SNK, you think that Shinkiro art. Even though I argue he's a better artist under Capcom. He got really good. Because some of his stuff was kind of weird looking in SNK. It was, like, too realistic to the point where it's like, this doesn't look right. But I think, like, definitely during like the later SNK years, I liked it better. But I think like when he moved over to Capcom, because his first work, believe it or not, was actually for the shitty Capcom fighting, All-Star Fighting Jam, whatever the fuck it was called, Evolution. Terrible game, gorgeous art. And then he did the art for Tatsunoko versus Capcom, and he's just been a mainstay. In Sagat, he was just released for Street Fighter VI. Because they always have, like, you know, panels of showing what the character's been up to and stuff. A lot of Shinkiro art. You know, it looks... That guy is, like, any character you give him, he's going to make him look good. He's great. He also did the art for... Yeah, Sagat. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Sagat. But, yeah, this is dope. So, I will definitely be using this. So, thank you, Jeffrey. This looks incredible. I definitely need another... I mean, because I use a desk mat anyway. It's just dirty. And I'm like, can I put that thing in the fucking laundry? I don't know if that'll fuck it up. Anyway, good stuff. Let's start wrapping things up. And Manny, you can go first because you already kind of teased it. What's coming up on your end?
Well, first off, thanks to everybody who up Powder's Prime number 9. Apparently, when I went out, one of the other things I did while I was out in New York, I went over to Midtown Comics to see if I could spot it on the shelf. And they said they sold out. And oh, the shit. Homeboy at the desk gave me the pound. He's like, oh, yeah. So, Power Rangers Prime is out right now. Good luck finding the cover that I drew. By the way, if we're going to talk about the future, I will have copies of Power Rangers 9 at my New York Comic Con table. Dun, dun, dun. But coming up real soon, I have covers with that are coming up in due time. Kari Randolph and I are doing TMNT Journeys number 2, which has a Casey Jones cover from the 2000s. So we did a 2000 era a Casey Jones cover, and then coming in 2 weeks, MGS Con. If you're out in California on the weekend of the 23rd, also mark that time on your the 23rd is going to be MGS Con. They have most of the cast of Metal Gear Solid 3 and Metal Gear Delta, so they're all going to be there. David Hayter, Laurie Allen, the guy who played Revolver Ocelot, Greg Eagles, who's the voice of Cyborg Ninja and Decoy Octopus, and all a bunch of the people that have worked on them, and they're all going to be there, as well as a list of fan artists and also cosplayers, including my friend Bitaki, really talented. So yeah, yeah, if you're there, say what's up. If not, I'll see you at your Comic-Con.
There you go. And because you're going to Comic-Con, I will go to Comic-Con as well, you know? So that'll be fun. Because last year I was like, man, second, what the fuck should I bother? So I didn't even bother going. So I'll be there this year. And Barry yeah. Burton will be there too.
Barry Burton will reluctantly be there and say, I'm not even supposed to be here like Dante from Clerks.
Yeah, right? I'm not even supposed to be here. All right. See y'all soon for Friday. Oh, yeah, Dio, we'll see you out there, brother. Barry Burton says, never. All right. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend, man?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, let's give a shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV terminal. He has been reviewing the show Revival, Chief of War, and Dexter. So stay tuned to the TV terminal, YouTube, as well as the Coalition website. That will be up. As for the Coalition specifically, I just recorded a review with Dana for the movie that just came out called Weapons. That is a really crazy movie. Definitely check out our review because it will be on the Coalition Entertainment channel, but it will also be on the website. So stay tuned for that. And on the gaming side of things, I did do a video earlier this week on some upcoming survival horror games. You can check that out. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. I wish I can talk about some of the stuff that I'm working on, but I cannot. But I can just tell you, stay tuned to the Coalition Gaming channel as well as the website because there's a couple of things coming that you are going to want to check out. But that's pretty much it. Thank everybody for their continued support and stay tuned.
There you go. All right, man, let's start wrapping things up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time. Not late this time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch. There he is. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Ice Cube, did you really need that paycheck?
Man, I've seen better special effects in a CW show. That War of the Worlds is crazy. What are we doing, Ice Cube? Brian, I apparently heard that. If people were like, yo, it doesn't even seem like he read the script like before he did the movie. Oh, man. I don't get it. Anyway, guys, we'll see you on. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, don't go see that. Is it a tagline like it gets worse? I'm like, yeah, that's a perfect tagline for that movie. All right, man. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Later.
Later.